Shalom.
This is Yair David continuing our lecture concerning the identifying characteristics of the lost 10 tribes of Israel in their places of exile in the lost in the end times. Where will the lost 10 tribes be? How will we be able to identify them? This is what scripture tells us. It tells us expressly where the lost 10 tribes will be. And this lecture is very important. Deals with important matters. It's worth paying attention to. Prophet Isaiah foretold that Britain would rule Egypt and India, and that the USA would import slaves from Africa. Isaiah in chapters 43, 44 and 45 spoke of Osiris and of Israel and of Cush, Egypt and Saba. The word translated as Ethiopia is Cush, and Cush more often than not means India, though it can also mean Ethiopia according to the context. We explained this matter several times at length in our works. Isaiah speaks of the Persian ruler Cyrus and of Israel. Even when he speaks of Cyrus, in the very same verse, Isaiah directs his message to Israel in their places of exile. Details of this point, which is quite important, may be seen in our book Joseph, the Israelite Destiny of America by Yair Davidi, advertised on our website, and it may also be seen in a summarized form in our commentary to Isaiah in the Brit Am commentaries to scripture that are also available from our website. Hosea 1:10 says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." Here Hosea says that the children of Israel will be as the sand of the sea, and they would be called my people by the Almighty. In Genesis 13, verses 14 to 16, it says, "The Lord said unto Abram, For I will make you a seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. And he took him outside and said, Look now and tell the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall your seed be." Hosea, speaking of the woman he had married, who represents the exiled northern tribes in their places of exile, as may be seen quite clearly from the context of the passages in which Hosea speaks of this matter. Hosea says, 2:8, "For she had not known that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied the silver and gold which they prepared for Baal." Hosea 2:17 says, "For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." We see here that Hosea says that the exiled Israelites would be extremely rich, and that they would give their riches to Baal. This shows that they would receive their riches while still in their places of exile, while still unaware of their origins, unaware of who they are, and while still worshipping a false god. The exiles would have possessed great material prosperity, corn, wine, oil, multiplied silver and gold. The Celts in Britain and also in Europe worshipped Bel, B-E-L, which is another form of the Middle Eastern idol Baal. Most people have British or British stock, have some Celtic ancestry. In addition to that, the ancient Scandinavians and Anglo-Saxons had a god named Baldur, who is also derived from the Middle Eastern god Baal. The prophet Hosea said that Ephraim will be in the West. Ephraim in the Bible can refer to the specific tribe named Ephraim, or it can be a general term referring to all of the northern tribes in their places of exile. And we need to judge by the context which of these two meanings is applicable. Hosea in 11:10 says, "They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion when he shall roar. Then the children shall tremble from the west." The rabbinical commentators, including the Aramaic translation that was approved by the sages of the Talmud, says that in this verse, the exiles are returning. They are returning from the west. In other words, the lost in times in the times in the end times will be largely to the west of the land of Israel. Hosea 12:1 says, "Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt." Ephraim is here described as following an east wind. An east wind blows towards the west. It blows from the east to the west. To be affected by the east wind, you have to be in the west. We have described in our book Ephraim how early Arab tradition said that the brother of Hod, meaning the lost ten tribes in their terminology, the brother of Hod had been blown away by a great wind because of their sins. They had gone, according to the legend, to the holy islands in the west. Holy islands in the west meant the British Isles. This tradition was derived directly from Jewish Arab communities that were living in Arabia at the time. And they had this tradition from the land of Israel, from sages in the land of Israel, who knew where the lost ten tribes were. Hosea also describes Ephraim as a deceitful merchant. See Hosea 12:7. "He is a merchant, the balances of deceit are in his hand. He loves to oppress." Hosea 12:8. "And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance in all my labors. They shall find none iniquity in me that was sin." The French described the British as perfidious Albion. Albion is another name for Britain or for England. Perfidious Albion means deceitful Britain. Napoleon said that the English were a nation of shopkeepers. The prophet Hosea says the same. Hosea says that Ephraim is in the west and he's a deceitful merchant. Isaiah 42:10 describes the lost ten tribes as seagoers, living in islands in the ends of the earth. As he says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." The prophet Amos says that everything that would happen in the last days was revealed to the prophets. Amos 3:7. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Amos speaks of the exile of the northern tribes of Israel. 3:13, 3:14, and 3:15. "Hear and testify in the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon them, upon him I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground, and I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord." Houses of ivory spoken of here. Remind us that archaeologists have discovered in the excavations of Samaria and northern Israel evidence that local Israelite craftsmen from Samaria produced ivory carvings of a very high standard. Their workmanship and the methods and technology that they used was to be continued by the Scythians in the north and also by the Celts in the west. And it was to be unique to them. We have spoken about this in another place, and it's worth remembering. Amos 4:1 says, "Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink." Samaria means northern Israel, where the 10 tribes were. Bashan was east of the Jordan in present-day Syria, but at that time it was part of the northern kingdom of Israel, and one day it will be once more. Syria belongs to Israel. Bashan was known in the Middle East as Basilia. The name Basilia was later applied to Scandinavia. Scandinavia was settled by the Goths, who were from Gad, from the tribe of Gad, and also by other Israelites. The tribe of Gad in biblical times, together with the half-tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Reuben, and once dwelt in Bashan or in Basilia. Amos 4:2 says, "The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that though the day shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks." That's what it says in the King James Bible, and most of the English translations and also the Jewish ones into English follow a similar path of explanation. The Hebrew, however, says something else. The word translated as hooks in Hebrew is zinot. Zinot actually means fleets of ships, or great ships, large ships. And the word translated in Amos as fish hooks in Hebrew is sirot duga. Sirot duga, meaning literally fishing boats. Though it can also mean ships named Duga, or ships in the form of a fish. And the Phoenicians and Cypriots in Cyprus had a large boat known as a fish boat, which could also be referred to by Amos. At all events, however you interpret it, according to the simple meaning of the Hebrew, Amos is speaking of the Israelites, of part of the Israelites, being taken away in ships and in fishing boats, or in boats in the shape of a fish, or boats known as fish boats. It also says in the same verse of Amos, "You shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. You shall cast them into the palace, says the Lord." The word translated as "into the palace" in Hebrew is Hamona. This literally means into the mountains of Menai, which is in Armenia. It's how it is explained in the Aramaic translation of Yonatan. Amos is therefore saying that part of the exiles will be taken overseas, over the sea, in boats, and another part taken to the region of Armenia. In Isaiah 11:11, he speaks of different places of exile. He says, "In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant which is left of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea." Which is said here as coastlands of the sea in Hebrew is Eayam, which actually should be translated as isles of the sea, rather than coastlands. Though there are places in the Bible where the Lost Ten Tribes are referred to as being found in coastlands. Isaiah 9:1 says, "There shall be no gloom for her that it was in anguish, In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. This verse may be rendered as saying, for the oppression will not be lightened, it will be more burdensome than the relatively easier exile that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali experienced. This last exile will be more burdensome. It will be by way of the sea across the Jordan, the highlands of the nations. How this verse should exactly be rendered, what is the exact meaning of it, is disputed. It's not clear. At all events, what is clear, what is agreed upon, is that it is connecting a portion of the exile to the way of the sea. It's connecting them to the sea. We know that not only did the Assyrians conquer northern Israel, but they also conquered the Phoenicians and the Philistines. The Assyrians used the sea-going facilities in the ships of the Phoenicians and Philistines to export Israelites overseas, as well as taking them overland. Amos 1:6 speaks of the Philistines in Gaza assisting in exiling the Israelites. Amos says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Amos also says something very similar about the Phoenicians. Its major city was Tyre. Amos 1:9 says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. And remember not the brotherly covenant. Edom in the north was linked with Assyria. There were entities descended from Edom in the Assyrian region in the north. Tyre was a major Phoenician city. The destruction of Ephraim is also linked with Tyre in Hosea 9:13. As it says, Ephraim, as I saw Tyre, is placed in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. You see from these verses that part of the Israelites was to be exiled by way of the sea, and that the Phoenicians and Philistines were to participate in this exile. Archaeological and historical evidence shows that just after the Israelites were exiled, they appeared in the south and southeast of Spain in the region of Tarshish, a new settlement of people. These people had an Israelite Phoenician type of culture, and they had Hebrew tribal names such as Manasseh. We have proven this in some detail in our works and from historical sources, Roman writings and archaeological evidence that cannot be denied, and that is affirmed by scientists. How they explain these findings is something else. But the findings exist. These peoples, these newcomers, had a Phoenician type culture, an Israelite Phoenician type culture, and they had Hebrew tribal names such as Manasseh. After about 250 years, from the south of Spain, they moved to the northwest of Spain. Then they moved northwards into France, Gaul as it was then known, and overseas to Ireland and Britain. They called themselves Iberi, which name means Hebrews. Irish and British legends and customs prove that they were of Israelite descent. More details will be available in a forthcoming book that Britam is about to publish, with your help, God willing. The prophets also spoke of the Israelites being exiled overland to areas in the north, as well as being taken over the seas in boats to the west. At that stage, they were also taken to the north. Amos, the prophet Amos, said that they would go to Armenia. Which was then known as Manoi. Amos 4:3, as we have explained. In 2 Kings 17:6 it says, concerning the original exile of the Israelites, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria, placed him in Hala and in Habor and in the cities of the Medes. In 1 Chronicles 5:2-6 it says, and the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them unto Hala and Habor and Hara and to the river Gozan unto this day. All these places of exile mentioned were on the northern edges of the Assyrian Empire. The Israelites in their places of exile became identified with the Sumerians, Scythians and Goths. They moved to the north and later in several stages they moved to Western Europe. A small portion of these people stayed behind in southern Russia and became known as the Khazars. Part of the Khazars later moved to Scotland where they became known as the Picts. Another part of the Khazars stayed in southern Russia and founded a mighty kingdom of their own. They later converted to Judaism, or at least a significant portion of the ruling class converted to Judaism, and we assume that their descendants became part of the Jewish people, though contrary to various claims, this has never been proved one way or the other. We see from the above verses how the prophets describe historical events that assist us in identifying the Israelites in their places of exile. The prophet Obadiah speaks of Esau, who is also called Edom. Esau was the brother of Jacob. The book of Obadiah condemns Esau for betraying his brother Israel. Obadiah says that in the last days, Obadiah 1:18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken of it. Obadiah here says that the house of Joseph shall destroy the house of Esau. Rabbinical sources, such as Megillah 6, identified Esau with Rome and with Germany. Other sources identify Esau and Edom with Christian Europe in general. The Talmud says that only Joseph is capable of defeating Esau. Only Joseph can beat Edom. See Baba Batra 1:2-3b. The sources do not say all the Germans are from Esau. Similar sources, or sources of equal validity, say that the Germans are descended from Canaanites, or from Gomer, or from Togomer, or from Ashkenaz, or from Magog, and so on. In other words, the Germans are a mixed people, unified by a common language, a common culture, and common historical traditions, like most peoples. There was a tradition, however, that the ruling elements of Rome and of Germany were descended from Esau. And we saw that how only Joseph can defeat Esau, according to tradition and according to the book of Obadiah. We must therefore look for a group of nations, or a group of peoples that has proven itself capable of defeating Germany and Europe in general. And this is what the Britain and the USA have done in the past, in the First and Second World Wars, and at other times. Obadiah 1:20 says, "In the captivity of this host to the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites even unto Zarephath. In the captivity of Jerusalem which is Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south." Here it says in Obadiah 1:20, "In the captivity of this host," in Hebrew, Galuta Ha'elezeh. And Galuta Ha'elezeh can also be translated as meaning this first exile. The first exile of Israelites was the exile of the 10 tribes by the Assyrians. The great commentator Rashi, Rabbi Solomon ben Isaac, 1040 to 1105 CE, lived in the region of Champagne in France. He grew vines for wine production. Rashi says that this verse, as Rashi says in his own words, I quote, "The first exile of the children of Israel, who were exiled from the 10 tribes to the land of Canaanites unto Zarephath." The commentators say that Zarephath means the kingdom called France in common language. That is what Rashi says. Rashi identifies Zarephath with the lost and tribes will be taken unto as France. He says that the lost and tribes went there. Nahmanides, Ramban, also said that the house of Joseph, he in his verse refers to the 10 tribes, and that they went to Zarephath and were still there in his time in the farthest north, according to Nachmanides. The lost 10 tribes are in the farthest north. Nachmanides lived in Spain in the 1200s. Nachmanides, Rabbi Moshe ben Nahman, 1194 to 1270, said in his book of redemption, chapter 1, that the lost 10 tribes in his time were in the farthest north in the region known as Zarephath. The commentator Abravanel, who lived in Spain in the 1400s, said that by Zarephath, the intention of the Bible was to both France and to the Isle of England, meaning in his terms the British Isles in general. Abravanel said that Zarephath means England and France together, that in biblical terminology they were one entity, and also in geopolitical terms there is some historical basis for this statement. We see that the commentators understood the Bible to say that the lost 10 tribes were in Western Europe. Jonah, in the book of Jonah, tells how God told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh, the Syrian city of Nineveh, and tell the people there to repent. If they did not repent, they would be destroyed. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was the enemy of Israel. Jonah did not want the Assyrians to repent and to avoid destruction. Jonah therefore tried to run away. He went aboard a foreign ship sailing to Tarshish in the west. A storm in the sea blew up. It looked like the ship would be sunk. The sailors were able to discern that this storm was supernatural, that a divine element had caused it, and therefore they took lots. They did a kind of lottery, and they came to the conclusion that the storm was caused by Jonah, by something that Jonah had done. See Jonah 1:7 to 1:9. And they said, "Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation? And hence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. Now fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. End of quote. You saw that Jonah said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Jonah called himself a Hebrew. Jonah was a Hebrew. He was going to Tarshish in Spain. The exiled Israelites were also called Hebrews. They were destined to move from Tarshish in Spain to France, Ireland and the British Isles. The Celtic inhabitants of Britain called themselves Hiberi or Iberni or Hiberni. These are all forms of the same word meaning Hebrew. They call themselves Hebrews. Amos 9:8 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saying that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. Amos here refers to the exiled Israelites as the house of Jacob. We also saw that Isaiah called them tribes of Jacob. The name Jacob is also found in the name for the flag of Britain, which is called the Union Jack. Jack is short for Jacob. Union Jack means the union of Jacob. The name Jacob is also found in the term Yank. Yank in Yiddish and in Hebrew dialects is a form of the name of Jacob. A Yank is also, in slang, a term given to someone from the USA. The Scottish people are also nicknamed Jocks, which is in turn Jock is another form of Jack, meaning Jacob. Jeremiah speaks frequently about the lost in tribes in Israel, of Israel in exile. Jeremiah 31:18 says, have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for art the Lord my God. Jeremiah here calls Ephraim a bullock. In 31:18, Jeremiah. A bullock means a young bull. It's an English word, means a young bull. England is nicknamed John Bull. John Bull is a nickname for England. In Hebrew, the word used by Jeremiah, translated as bullock or young bull, is eagle. Eagle in Hebrew means young bull. Rashi says that young bull or eagle in Hebrew was a nickname for Ephraim. And this also is what the verse itself indicates. Eagle could also be pronounced in Hebrew dialects as angle. England received its name from the Angles. The Angles and Saxons conquered England from the Celts. England means angle land, land of the Angles. Even on the continent of Europe, the Angles were also referred to as Eagle. Eagle is considered by linguistic historians as a diminutive for angle. In other words, a favorite nickname for an angle was Eagle. In Hebrew, angle and Eagle are actually two very variant forms of the same word, different possible pronunciations of the same Hebrew letters. In ancient times, as we said, the Angles, also known as Eagles. Eagle was the nickname for Ephraim, and therefore the very word England, land of the Angles, means land of the Eagle, land of the young bull, land of Ephraim. England is nicknamed after the Angles, or Eagles, His name in Hebrew means young bull, which was a nickname for Ephraim. The whole of chapter 31 in Jeremiah speaks about the lost 10 tribes. Jeremiah 31:20 is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a present child? Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I shall surely have mercy upon him, says the Lord. Jeremiah 31:21 says, set you up waymarks, make you high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to these thy cities. Here in Jeremiah 31:21, Jeremiah, or God, through the prophet Jeremiah, calls upon Ephraim, meaning the lost 10 tribes, to repent. They are told to set up high heaps and waymarks so that they may remember where they came from and how to get back to the cities of Israel they came out of in the end times. To look at the signs, to look at the waymarks that were set up. These words in this verse for waymarks and high heaps in Hebrew, as explained by Radak, Rabbi David Timchi, 1157 to 1236, from Narbonne in southeast France. These words for high heaps and for waymarks, Tamarurim and Zionim, actually mean stone monuments, such as dolmens. Megalithic, so-called megalithic monuments. Dolmens are a type of stone monument used in ancient times. They are found in the lands of Israel, in especially east of the Jordan, but also in the region of Jerusalem and elsewhere on the west, so-called West Bank. And they're also found in Spain, in France, in Britain, Ireland, Holland, Denmark, and Sweden. The dolmens, the path of the dolmens, describes a migrating path of people from the land of Israel to the west. You can look it up in a map. It's quite clear. And it's actually quite obvious from a map and from articles in general concerning the dolmens. Dolmens were set up by one people, and they describe a migrating path of this people that originated in the land of Israel, in the region of Israel. They show a migrating path of people from the land of Israel to the west. Jeremiah predicted that such a path would be set up by the Israelites, and that by tracing this path, we can prove that Israelites went to the north and to the west as the prophet said they would. The paths of the stone monuments show us how the lost tribes left their land and where they went to. Jeremiah, the prophet, transmits the command of God, telling us to take heed of the paths we went in, the monuments we set up, and the way leading back to the cities of our forefathers in the land of Israel.